Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget you can listen to thousands of archives, read hundreds of articles, and find out lots about our Brain Trust members, over 400 strong now, including our guest this half hour, Mr. Len Marilla. Len is a graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point. He went on to a distinguished military career, having served in NATO and in the Defense Department. He has an MBA and a doctorate in finance, and he's the author of In Search of Ethics, Conversations with Men and Women of Character. Len is one of our top ethics advisors and experts in our Brain Trust. Len, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Len, the United States, at least, has come through a time that is not unprecedented, because we've had periods like this before in our past. But I'd say that if you look at the ethical behavior of leaders in America over the last, let's not say the last 3 years, let's say the last 10 years. If you look at the ethical behavior of people who are supposed to be leaders on a number of different levels, this is going to have to go down on the pages of ignominy. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that 100%. It seems like the cultural tide of society is pulling us in the wrong direction.
Now let me stop and say that, notice, folks, I didn't say that I thought that this is the way Americans were, because I can't say that, because I work with a lot of folks. I see a lot of folks who are very, their character is extremely high. But I'm talking about people who have found themselves at the pinnacle of their career, and many people consider to be the pinnacle of the marketplace, and also in politics, and those are the ones I'm talking about, Len.
Well, it seems like somehow the greed became a big motive for a lot of people, and I say, I think it's part of the cultural tide of society, the whole notion of me, and more, and with the stock market doing so well in the late 90s. And I guess people seeing so many people do well, all of a sudden got away from folks. And I think that, on top of the fact that we don't have quite the same training at home anymore, nor quite the same training in schools anymore, in terms of developing character. Our leaders spend a lot of time learning skills. They learn, they learn how to be competent. But to be a good leader, you need competence and character, and there's very little formal training in character. And if you have homes where it's not happening because of the divorce rate, or because of so many people working and a little less attention being paid to kids, then this is the inevitable result.
So when you see what the behavior of what happened in some of these dramatic examples over the last 3 years or so, these people are still being tried for some of the things that they did, and some of them are going to, some of these are going to continue, some of these trials are going to continue. When you see that, instead of seeing that as a few bad apples, you actually see it as the kind of the tip of the iceberg, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do indeed. I think that I don't think we take this subject serious enough. And I mentioned to you during the break, Jim, that my concern is about the absence of absolutes. There was a time when there was shame and there was embarrassment if we in a family did something wrong. Now there's less of that, and we're inclined to want to blame other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say that it does bother me about a society where an offering such as the Jerry Springer Show can be successful. If you've ever been flipping channels and you've watched that for a few minutes, to me that is the worst thing that I've ever seen on television. And the fact that he can be successful with that, there, it is troubling.
And some of our reality shows are, you know, are going in the same direction.
Right. That's right. Yeah, I agree. Well, what are we going to do about that, Lynn? Can there be anything done about this? It's a tall order to fix this. And the thing is, Lynn, who are we to say that it should be fixed?
Well, you know, from a macro sense, as a nation, I think America is still a good nation. I think we go out, try to do the right things for people all over the world without asking for much. And yet, in a micro sense, in some quarters, and I don't want to point the finger at everybody because there are a lot of fine people in this country, a lot of fine people in this world.
Most of them are small business owners, too, by the way, Lynn.
A lot of them are small business
owners. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back. I'm going to let Lynn finish his thought. And then I'm going to ask Lynn if he sees this not only as something that's happening in the U.S., but a global issue. I kind of think it is, and I've got an example I'm going to ask him about. Tony Till, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Would you love her?
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Lynn Morella. Ladies and gentlemen, his last name has two R's and two L's. Marrella. Lynn, L-E-N. If you're typing him, if you're Googling him, or if you're looking for his book, which is called In Search of Excellence. Lynn, tell us where the book's available.
In Search of Ethics. In Search of Ethics.
What did I say? I'm sorry. You know how many times I've said that correctly. So I'm sorry. In search of Ethics. That's right. That's exactly right. Because that's another book, by the way, folks. In Search of Ethics. And Lynn, tell us where it's available, please.
Well, you can get it online at www.focusonethics.com.
All right.
That gets you directly to the publisher, or you can get it in Borders or any of the bookstores,
right.
But they probably have to order it if it's not in the store at the time.
In Search of Ethics, and that's by Lynn Morella. Lynn,
I can give you a toll-free number as well.
Okay, sure.
It's 866-602-1476. That goes right to the publisher as well, and he'll send it to you directly.
Sounds good.
866-602-1476.
Can they get an autographed copy?
I bet they could.
Yeah, just ask
all
for
they
that.
Have to do is ask the author.
Lynn, what about? I interrupted you as we were going to a break a minute ago. You were talking about you know, you were pointing out something that's very true, and that's that you know, we're not seeing this. You don't see this as something that's you know, all Americans are like this, but it does seem that right now there's more negative than good. At least what we're hearing about.
Well, I'm not sure there's more negative than good, but this again, it's the vocal aspects of
that. That's what I meant. What we're hearing is more negative than good. Because you know, that's the way the news media is, isn't it? I mean, if 10 million small business owners are ethical today, that doesn't make the news, does it?
Exactly right. Just yesterday, I read in the paper that Sarbanes-Oxley bill. People are already talking about it being too burdensome and too costly.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we have Sarbanes-Oxley is because people were unethical and was forced on them.
That's right.
Whenever there's a vacuum in ethics, compliance steps in and the law steps in. And now they're saying, well, geez, it's too costly and it's too time-consuming. The fact of the matter is, if people had conducted themselves in an ethical way, there wouldn't be that law.
Well, the only thing that I believe about that, about Sarbanes-Oxley, Lynn, is that every law that was broken, every breach that was made by the individuals that we all know, whose names we all know, there was a law against what they did, and they're being tried for those things right now. Sarbanes-Oxley didn't create any new requirements of law. In other words, it did add some extra checks to the process, and that are burdensome, and they are overbearing. But what you're saying is that was brought on by these unethical people.
Exactly right, and it's requiring people to do more things, maybe not more laws, but to do more things, more confirmation, more signing here and signing there, and
mm-hmm.
guaranteeing that the numbers are correct.
Well, one of the things that it did is it made it specific. If financial statements are produced and given to the public, and people make investments based on those financial statements, It made it so that the top people in the company can't say, oh, I didn't know about that. It did
exactly.
do that. They have to sign off on those and say, I approve of these. And that has been an excuse that some people have tried to hide behind, hasn't it?
And notice where most of the infractions occurred, Jim, where the big bucks were concerned. It was the greed factor,
right.
the temptations that were put in front of people, and they mm-hmm. and they reacted the wrong way.
How do we deal with this, Lynn? What's your recommendation?
Well,
I think everyday folks in the marketplace.
I think the first place still has to be in the family, still has to be at home. That's where it all starts. It has to happen with children. Then the next place is schools, and you know, and many schools are afraid to deal with this because they're being accused of imposing values on kids, mm-hmm. and that's not necessarily so. We're surfacing values. Wherever I go in the world and surface people's values, here's what comes up. Everybody says they believe in honesty or truth. Everyone says they believe in respect. Everyone says they believe in responsibility. Everyone says they believe in justice or fairness. Everyone says they believe in compassion. Everybody says they believe in freedom. No matter where I go in the world and talk on the subject and surface people's values, that's what comes up. Maybe in a different order, mm-hmm. but nevertheless the same thing. Yet there's a major disconnect between what they say and what they do, and that's the problem. And when I go around and talk at colleges and at corporations, I see these codes of ethics, and I see some lip service. But frankly, there are very few places where they take it very, very seriously outside the home. For example, let me just give you an idea. I don't want to tout my own alma mater, but I know at West Point they take this thing very, very seriously because, you know, people's lives are at stake. Mm-hmm. And in order for you as a parent, for me as a parent, to trust my son and daughter to serve in this country and possibly, you know, go up their life, you want to make sure they're in front of they're working with leaders of character. And so right at the military academy, it's in their mission statement. They want to be the premier institution in the world to develop leaders of character. And they have a motto that says duty, honor, and country. And they have an honor code that says, I will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate others who do. And their alma mater, even their school song, has the notion that they don't want their honor errant, untarred, or tarnished. Mm-hmm. And they have a cadet prayer that says, Dear Lord, help me to do the harder right rather than use your wrong. And they have a hierarchy of command.
But what would it take to get that kind of those kinds of attitudes into the public schools? I mean, what would that take? That it actually used to be that way. When I was a little kid, it was more like that than it is now. Stand
Absolutely.
By, Lynn. We're going to come back in just a minute, right after these messages, with our good friend Lynn Morella, the author of In Search of Ethics. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Lynn Morella, the author of In Search of Ethics, and the book's available wherever books are sold. The subtitle is Conversations with Men and Women of Character by Lynn Morella, 2 R's and 2 L's. Lynn, one of the things that I'm really concerned about is the potential, what could have happened in what actually did happen in the UN, in the Iraqi Oil for Food program. More and more the evidence is coming out, not as much as I think it will ultimately come out, that we have world leaders who were making critical decisions about life and liberty based on graft. And as you, I'm sure you know about this, this is where the UN was given the job of monitoring the oil for food program, where Saddam Hussein could sell oil and petroleum in order to get food and medicine for his people, and it turned out to be a big scandal. And some people were making decisions based on how much money they were getting back in the UN, member countries making decisions based on how much money they were getting from Saddam Hussein. And I think that is a scandal of global proportions. Is that overstating it?
Jim, what is the common denominator for the oil for food program and the infractions that we had with our major corporations? It's money. Mm-hmm. It was money and in some cases power. And wherever there's those big temptations, where there's a crack in the wall of ethics, things are going to happen. That's exactly what happened. And probably the biggest offender of all was Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Who apparently, had billions of dollars siphoned off.
But Lynn, we expected that of him. What I didn't expect was that the president of Russia and the president of France, I didn't expect them to everything that they've done with regard to Iraq in the last year and a half, 2 years, has been tainted by the fact that we now have evidence that somebody close to them benefited from the oil for food program. So they had a conflict of interest.
Well, it was obvious by their conduct and their unwillingness to cooperate that they had another agenda.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is all of that manifested through the United Nations, and that is very frightening to me.
Well, indeed it is, because think of the number of sanctions that were put on Iraq over the last 10 years. And when it came time to enforce these infractions, some of the key members of the Security Council didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it because they really didn't believe that sanctions were necessary?
Right.
Or was it because they were protecting their own pocketbooks?
And that's what scares me. And folks, I hope you I hope you'll follow this as it comes out. You're not seeing it. All the news media is not covering this like they should be. But it's something that needs to be ferreted out and identified. Lynn, one of the things that's unfortunate, and I'm going to use Iraq as an example, is how the few can taint the many. And by that I mean, if you look at the hundreds of thousands of American and other countries, the coalition soldiers and Marines who have done a wonderful job and have been very honorable and their character has been high in Iraq, and yet their whole efforts have been tainted by a few in the Abu Ghraib scandal.
Well, absolutely right. And what is so disheartening is that there's so many fine young men and women over there that are doing on a day-to-day basis, person-to-person type things that nothing reported. I remember when I served some time in Vietnam, I was involved with a battalion of about 1,000 troops, and my troops were more interested in taking care of the local orphanages and taking care of some of the local Vietnamese people than they were in fighting the war in some sense. You know, they paid as much attention to the peace-building type things.
Right.
Even though that's not their function, that's just a natural fallout of a good American and a good person. And a lot of that I know is going on in Iraq as well,
right.
But we haven't heard a word about it.
Well, so is a lot of the problem that we're hearing more about the unethical thing than we are about the ethical? Maybe things aren't as bad as we think it is. Maybe we're just hearing about the bad things.
Well, there's some truth to that. I'm not suggesting that people have these infractions are bad only in this era. I'm sure there were a lot of bad things in the past that didn't get reported, but now it's the other extreme as far as reporting.
Right. I agree with you. Lynn, give us your website one more time.
The website for the book is focusonethics.com.
And the book title is In Search of Ethics, Conversations with Men and Women of Character by Lynn Morell. It's also available wherever books are sold anywhere else. Lynn, thank you for being here today.
Jim, it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be with
you. We'll see you next time. Lynn Morell, ladies and gentlemen.
Keep up the good work, Jim.
Thanks, Lynn. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And also, thank you for your ethics. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.